Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? The world is going very fast. It's going very fast. Everything that we are seeing in this world has not been easy. There are trials, there are tribulations, there are persecution. Everything that Jesus said when he is about to come, we are seeing with our own eyes. So this is the reason why always we encourage the Bible says, encourage one another as the time gets closer and closer and closer and closer. He says, encourage one another. And the fact of everything is that we have to understand to know that whatever we are doing, the end is about to come. Shall we bow down our heads? Father, unto your hands we commit ourselves. Unto your hands we commit our hearts, our body, our spirit, and our soul. You are a good God. You are a faithful God. You are a God that has been there for us. You have a God. You are the God that has been seeing us through over and over and over and over and over. And we are here to bless your holy name and still commit ourselves into the power of your mighty hands. And I continue to pray that every single soul in your presence, Holy God, we will understand what we are saying, what the word and the spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, that all of us will come to a point of understanding, to understand what you, God, are saying to us, because you know what is about to come. Father, give us a humble heart. I pray that we will have ears to understand what you, Holy God, are saying to us. Thank you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen? And so as things are going on and on and on, we are beginning to understand that truly and sincerely, whatever we are struggling and whatever we are doing, whatever we are preparing, whatever we set our eyes on, it's not going to last. And it's going to pass away. Everything that we are looking for and holding up to, the Bible says it will pass away, but only the things that are in God will stay. The things that are in God will never pass away. It says, everything will pass away, but my words that have been spoken, it will continue to stand even in times of trial, in times of difficulties, in times of everything that is going on, that people will even begin not to believe what I have said. The Lord says, my word, whether you believe or not, it will stand. Amen. It's nothing that is going to challenge God's word. Nothing that is going to really cancel what God has said with his mouth. And so when the Lord says the end, there is a beginning and there is an end, trust me, there is an end. This week, I was listening to the news, and many of you that really listen, if you are a Christian, it's good to know what is going on. So it's good to hear news. Now, they said the Poland prime minister and the wife had an air crash in Russia that about 79 of them have just perished. Now, let's take, for example, these are the people, really, big political leaders, ministers, nation father and mother. They were going to USSR to really partake something that has happened 70 years ago during the First and the Second World War. And all of a sudden, his children are in Poland. Maybe his grandchildren are in Poland. Every property he has acquired is in Poland. Every money that he has is in the Bank of Poland. Anything that he loves is in Poland, including 79 ministers. And out of a sudden, they are just traveling a few hours to go to Russia to do something and come back so that maybe Monday they will go back to the parliament and continue the usual business. Just a few miles to the airport, they could not make it. Now all of them has perished. Now, assuming these people, none of them know the Lord as their personal Savior, and they are not saved. They don't know the Lord. Communists, most of the time, they say there is no God. And now, all of a sudden, their life is gone. Where are they going? If they have millions in Poland packed there, that millions could not save them. If they have mansions in Poland, they are not going to come back to live in that mansion anymore. And so this is really is something. When you hear all these things is going on, you need to take the walk with God very serious. Because our only hope really is not in anything, but only, as our mothers just sang that song, it said, it's only the anchor of Christ. It's the solid one. And so day and night, as we are coming, we thank God that his word always has been there for us, just to encourage us, to warn us, and to tell us that the coming of the Lord is something that is true. The coming of the Lord is so imminent. The coming of the Lord is more closer than we think. The coming of the Lord is so important in our life that if we set our eyes upon any other thing, the Bible says we are going to lose them, but only salvation. Only salvation. I was reading this week, let's take our Bible to Jude. Jude is just one chapter. Jude is just one chapter. Just before you get to Revelation, please. Nowadays, what we see is that theologians and all kinds of people making us understand that whatever the Bible says is not true. We are hearing people saying even hell does not exist. Heaven does not exist. If you die, you die. There is nothing left for you. Some people say you will change. If you are a human being, you are going to change into a monkey, or you are going to change into a fish, or you are going to change to other things and come back again. There are many theories and so many demonic doctrine that even now people that have been saved now going back again, and then slowly every zeal in them is now taking off. Because why? They don't care whether heaven or no heaven, whether coming of the Lord or no coming of the Lord. They don't care anymore, because they will come back as a fish. Now we are seeing the lack of attitude towards God's, even God's own people. This morning we were reading, and he said, now many of us are lovers of the word. We are lovers of the word, the precious of the word. Now we don't talk no longer about holiness and righteousness anymore. Many don't prepare ourselves whether Jesus will come this afternoon, whether Jesus will come tomorrow morning, whether Jesus will come Sunday, whether as we are going back to sleep, Jesus is going to about to come. We don't think about all those things. But I want to encourage you, according to the word of God, that listen, the coming of the Lord is not in anybody's hands. It is only in the hands of the Father. But Jesus says, when it's about to come, there are things that we will see. There are signs that is there that will make us know that his coming is so close. Many, they started war. But even now, they don't want to hear anything because they're busy. I was watching a television, and a man that has married for probably 60 years with a wife, and he is now old. And a man of God asked him, so as your wife has passed away, I know it has not been easy because you have been, two of you, doing the work of God for many years. And now that your wife suddenly has passed away, what are you going to do? And I was so waiting anxious to hear what this man of God would say. And he said, I am going to work so hard. I am going to commit myself the more. He says, I am going to take every minute of my life, that this fight that I've been fighting, the faith of God for years, and the struggling, the tribulation, the pain, and the suffering that I have gone through with my wife, if she is no longer there anymore, I am not going to cross my hands and fold my hands and fold my legs and never and say, I don't have nothing to do. Why God have to take away my wife as I'm old now that I can't even remarry again? And I have not. He said, no. I am going to press on until God call me. It was Oral Roberts. Look at the age of that man. Healing ministry started from this man. Have done so much on and off for years, built universities, trained many young men, lost the wife. The Bible says after, according to him, after even the wife has passed away, there is one minister that was in Morisserere. He said, this man of God, that he himself is a director for the university, worked so hard. But when he goes to church, he said, he went to the pastor and he said, pastor, the pastor is a very young pastor. And look at Oral Roberts. Household name for every Christian home. Went to the pastor and said, pastor, please, what can you get for me to do? He said he was shocked. What can you get for me to do? And we thank God. This year, that man has been called home. Why was his faith so built around God and know that Christ is his only hope? Because this man believed that man does not come here and walk here with their broad shoulder and walk on the street and do whatever they want and what they like. But he believes that there is a God that created this universe. He believes that he was created by God for a purpose. He knows that God has a plan from the one that he was born. He knew that he cannot just waste his precious time on this planet Earth and then commit himself to something that he will really use every energy and do it and do it and do it, and at the end, it's not going to go nowhere. He knows that. He knows that. And for more than 90 years, this man, since he was touched and healed by the power of Jesus Christ, never stop serving this mighty man of God. He has been serving the Lord God Almighty with all his might, with all his strength, with all everything that he has been serving the Lord until the day that the Father has called him home. Now, in Jude, I just want to encourage ourselves about the spoken word of Jude. He was the brother of James. And he opened our eyes to say something to us. And I just want us to really see what he said, so that we all can take note. We all will come back to our senses. We all will continue to work things out and know that there is a God that we will face for a judgment. And that God is still waiting for us until Jesus Christ will come and finish the work. In Jude chapter 1, if you have found it, can I hear amen? From verse 5, let's hear what he says. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. The people of Israel, the children of Israel, those years, the Lord sent Moses. We all know the story, so I am not going to park much on that. There was a prophecy that was spoken by God's people and said, children of Israel, your God will visit you and bring you out of Egypt unto the promised land. And the Bible says it came to the time that God sent Moses, but they all believed to walk and cross the Red Sea. God did a miraculous one after the other, one after the other, and brought all these suffering slaves that has been going through because of the children of Egypt. And the Bible says he brought them to the other side. But unbelief set in when you read the scriptures in Numbers and Exodus. You will see unbelief, stubbornness, and rebellious until God begins to kill the same people that he has already saved them. And I hope it has not happened to none of us. He says, and the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everything everlasting chain under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The angels that refuse to obey and to live in heaven and obey God, he said, the Bible said, those angels that really rebel with Satan, whose name was Lucifer, and fight against God. The Lord says, after he threw them here, these angels are so wicked that the Bible says, these angels has been kept in chains and waiting for the judgment of God. Don't sit down and say, I don't believe this kind of stuff. I don't believe this salvation. This you are heaven and heaven you're talking about and this stuff and judgment and I don't believe. Somebody was saying, even somebody told me, he said, I don't believe this kind of thing. Alex. This is a weak man people who are afraid of life and hide behind something called God. I said, brother, I don't need to argue with you. But trust me, when death comes, in spite of your mouth, you can't resist that death. I said, you cannot resist that death. And whatever you have, as a result of that you want to don't want to serve God. Trust me. When it happens in downtown, you cannot go back to your house and pick anything that you want. And so I don't need to bother you and argue with you. If there is no God, if there is no heaven, if there is no hell, if there is no nothing, I say, when the time comes, you will know it. I said, you will know it. Sometimes we argue for nothing. I said, I don't need to argue with you. I said, listen, even though you know me or you don't know me or anybody know me, I said, listen, there is a man called Alexander Mbwachi born in one day that existed in this earth. It can never be robbed. Whether you believe you know me or you don't know me, I exist and live. Not because you did never see me. Whether you know me, whether you heard about me, whether you know my name, whether you don't know my name, I was born in this world and I live in this world and one day I will die in this world. It says, there are some angels that have been chained, waiting for judgment. Angels, rebellious one, they have been chained. And he continued to say, he said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. He's warning us. He's giving us warning that we should not lose our gaps. We should not lose our eyesight. He said we should not lose what we have already received called salvation. He said we should not forget that we have been born for a purpose that is God's plan. And his plan is not to destroy us. But his plan is for Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save you and me. To build a personal relationship with the Lord. Why? Because they said there is accountability in one day. That is about to happen to everybody born on this planet Earth. And he said, that day, none of us can fight nothing or can say nothing. When the time to go, you are going. Whether you have believed or you have not, you are going. And there is a place that you and me will go. He says, likewise also, these filthy dreamers defy the flesh. Oh no, I have bypassed something here. In the 7, he said, and the cities above them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of what? Eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defy the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. It said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputes about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a relating accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they knew naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the day of Cain and ran greedily after Error or Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of God. These are spots in your feast, charity. He said, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, curry about on winds, trees which fruit wear it without fruits, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, ringing waves of the sea, forming out their own shape, wandering stars to whom is reserved the darkness of darkness. Blackness of darkness for what? Forever. I don't know if you understand what the scripture is saying. There are some people, Christians, they are like the star. They are not in one place. They move from here. They settle over there. Before you know, they move again. They will stay here. Maybe they go to Africa. Pim, they pon there. They call them moving stars. Wandering stars. They are moving and moving and moving and moving and moving and moving. But here, the wave is like the waves that the sea carry. It will come to the shore, goes back again, push them back again, take them back, push them. They have no sand. They have no ground. They have no foundation. Brethren, the end is coming. And the truth is, each one of us, born of a woman, we are going to stand before the Lord and give accounts of what we have done. Can I hear amen? He calls, he said, there is a reserve, the blackness of darkness, and he says, forever. It's not something that is going to happen for a few years and you come out. It says it is forever. The youth that don't want to listen to what God is saying. The adults that does not want what God is saying, so that we will cry and call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, have mercy upon me and my children. This case is a very serious, more serious even than the education, because why? You may not finish your education and Jesus will appear. You may not even get married before Jesus appears. You may not get your millions that you have been praying and sowing all your seed for before sometime maybe Jesus reappeared. You may not even finish your job and get that car that you want. Because anything can happen to you and me. And the Bible says immediately you close your eyes, you step into eternity. Eternity whereby you can't come back. Whereby you can't come back to correct whatever mistake that you did to recorrect them. That's why every day we come, God's word, he chose a new Testament, Old Testament, chosen everywhere, Sunday school, Bible study, prayer meeting. God continued to speak to his people. One purpose, because why? He is coming back. He is coming back. Now hear what he says. He says, and Enoch also, the servant from Adam, prophesies of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, whether they believe or they don't believe. Now, things are getting more crazy. When you hear what is going on, even in our own courts, I've been following one particular case with one man in Toronto. How nowadays, even excuse me to say, we are not against homosexuals or lesbians. We are not, personally, I am not against them because it's the same sin like any other sin. It's the same sin like any other sin. But the truth is, now, even in Africa, Zimbabwe, part of South Africa, in Nigeria, even in my country, now they are fighting the government for equal rights. And many people are supporting them to say, well, if they choose to be with a man or a woman, to marry a woman, then leave them. But sometimes I said, why do you want to marry and you have to take the government to court for years upon years? Why? This is all the things that really men are losing everything, good conscience that God has given to us. And we Christians, if we don't take care to believe God's word and go back to his truth, which is the word, and believe what God says, and stick to what he says, and agree with what he says, and walk with what he says, eventually, somebody is going to change us to believe something. Somebody out there is going to change you and change me. But hear what he says. The 15 says, he says, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. He said, these are murmurs and complainers, walking about their own laws, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admonition because of advantage. Can I hear me here? Jesus is coming to execute judgment. One day I was listening to a man of God. He says, the preaching of prosperity and abundance is becoming too much. That to be truthful, we have stopped preaching the coming of the Lord, which is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the more we hear this, the more each one of us will prepare ourselves. What they tell you many years ago, sometimes you forget it and don't take it serious. But it says, the Bible says, Enoch prophesied to say that the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. To do what? He's not coming this time as the nice little boy in a manger. The cute, oh, Jesus is so cute, that we always put him in a little box as a baby, and year after year we carry him all over the place and burning incense around him. The Bible says he is coming like a lion, the lion of Judah. He's coming as the judge of the world. He's coming with his saints and coming for his church. The church without blemish. The church without spots. The church without sin. The church that has been washed themselves with the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, this is the church that has repented of their sins. A church that has built a relationship. I am not talking about you going and somebody telling you, sitting in a corner, and tell you to really declare your sins in a box. He's coming now for the building. We are trying everything to keep this building so that when people are saved, they can come here to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But Jesus may come, whereby none of us will be in this building, but we will be sleeping in our homes. So he's not coming for building. And when he comes, he's not going to listen what your friend told you. He's not going to tell you what your friend said to you about somebody. That because of that, you stop coming to church. He's not going to talk about that. The Bible says he's coming for judgment. He said for those that really execute judgment upon all, everyone that is born, whether you're a Muslim, you're Buddhist, he's not coming for those that really say, I did not believe it. That day is a day of judgment. That day is a day of judgment for all. That day was a day for what you did. That day was a day of your faith. That day is a day of your salvation. That day is a day how you wash yourself in the blood of the Lamb. That day was a day that you committed yourself and depend solely and trust upon the God of Israel through his son Jesus Christ. That day is not a day that you smoke up and with your eyes so red and you putting music in your ear and thinking everything is all right. When the sound comes with a trumpet from above, the Bible says everybody shall see and look up and see the Son of Man, the Son of God, descending, coming down with thousands of angels to carry those that have suffered, received the Lord Jesus, crucified themselves, crucified the lost, crucified the greedy, crucified the gossip, crucified the damaging, crucify all kinds of things. They live to serve the living God. There are many people, what they are serving, what they are doing, who they are serving, they know for sure in their heart that this is not the right place to be. And yet, they say, I don't mind. I hear a man was saying, he said, listen, my wife, I was born a Catholic. My mother was a Catholic. My father was a Catholic. Uncle James was a Catholic. Auntie Marcia was a Catholic. My brother is a Catholic. I live as a Catholic. And I die as a Catholic. Well, if Catholic is doing you good, to give you the salvation of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus Christ, stay with your Catholic. Stay with your Catholic. If house of prayer is not giving you what you need, if the gospel is not being preached here, if compromise when it comes to sin, we compromise. When you are here, maybe you don't say nothing. Nothing clicks you. Then, my sister, my brother, look for somewhere that the word is being preached, that you can make your life and seek your God and prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Because let me tell you, he says every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And he says everyone, whatever we have done, or you talking about the secret call that you call and damage people's name, and you think nobody sees you and don't know you. Oh, my dear brother and dear my sister, he said that day you will stand before him and you are going to answer into everything that you have done. And he says, when you read the Revelation, the Bible talks about how every name, he says, John said he saw a book that was open. He said, in the book, every name was there. He said, in the book, whatever we have done was there.
He says, in the book, whatever commitment we did was there. Every history about us, he said, was here. And they ask you, and they read for you, what you have done. What you have done. What you have done. Brethren, our time is coming to our end. It will be very happy for each one of us when Jesus may be, as we are here, and we hear a big noise outside, we don't know what is it, and then we all rush outside, and then we see the stars falling down, we see things coming down, we see darkness all over the place, we see the whole world is in a torment. People from St. Catherine running to Atwater and running to Cordinage. And the people in Cordinage running to come down here because of what they are seeing. And it will be so good as we all go upside there. And the magnet of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost will pick each one of us. Discerning, because that time immortality of our God, our body will change into a different form. And we all will be lifted up unto heaven. And we can see the Master taking us home. And you will turn around. Where is my wife? Where is my daughter? Where is my son? Where is my friend? Where is sister so-and-so? Where is brother so-and-so? Where is sister so-and-so? Where is brother so-and-so? And could you imagine all of us meet Jesus in the air to take us home? To take us home. To take us home. I just want to read just Jude and finish it. And we pray. He said, these are murmurs and complainers, working after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Their mouth. He said their mouth. The Bible says their mouth. It murmurs, it complains, they walk about, they don't think about their own business, they love people's business. And they talk with their mouth and speak a great swelling words. He said, having man's person in admiration because of advantage. But he says, listen, he said, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. There shall be mockers, and there are mockers. There are people mocking the church. People are mocking you because you are a Christian. People are mocking you because you serve the living God. People are mocking you because you dress up or you don't go nowhere only because you are coming to the house of God. And because of this, they are mocking you. He said, who shall walk after their own ungodly lust? These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit of the Lord. But ye, beloved, what is he telling us? He said, building up yourselves on your own most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I will repeat that. I will repeat that. If you are here, if you are born again, if you serve the living Christ, if you have received this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you are building relationship with the Lord, he says it is not about a mother, a father, a brother, a pastor, whoever apostle or whoever it is. He says it is all about apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, there is nothing about nobody, but everything is about our Master, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He says, how that they told you there shall be mockers in the last time, who should walk after your own ungodly lust? These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the spirit, but ye, beloved, building, he said, build up yourself on your most holy faith, which is the faith in Christ Jesus. Can I hear? That is the holy faith, not in a church denomination, not religious setup. Don't build yourself with religion. Build yourself with Jesus Christ. Build yourself according to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Sit down and grab the word of the living God and read. And build your holy faith, which is in Christ Jesus, and praying in the Holy Ghost. There are some people, they can't even pray and open their mouth to say one word in the Holy Spirit. But they can talk every talk on this earth. And can talk everybody on this planet earth. And can't speak even one language of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, you build yourself. We are here together, but it says, we help one another, but it says, build yourself. Build yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, keep yourself in the love of God. Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto internal what? Internal what? Internal what? So that means there is an internal life. There is internal life, brethren. There is internal life, church. There is internal life, my dear sisters. There is internal life. And he said, oh, some have compassion, making a difference. Make a difference as a child of God. This morning we were talking about, in the Bible study, Sunday school, make a difference. Our duty is to receive Christ and make a difference on this planet earth. Difference in our society. Difference in our location. Different in the working place. Different in your neighborhood. Different in school. Different in everywhere that God will take you there. You and me has to make a difference. Not a difference of evil, but a difference that will beat up somebody's faith. And when they are going through, they are able to stand. So build yourself. Build yourself. And he says, make a difference, making a difference. And he says, others save with fear. This morning, Mama was telling us to pray for those we love and they are not saved. Please, it's time that we fear, because we need to snatch them from where they are going. We need to encourage them and pull them out from where they are going. He said, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hitting even the garments spotted by the flesh. He said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Pulling them, brethren. Pray and pull them. If you are here, you are not saved. The Bible says you are on your way to hell and to darkness. That nobody can pull you there. I hear growing up, they say, Roman Catholic, when somebody died, you pay money and they make a special mass. And when you are roasting in hellfire, they will carry you. And people believe that. Who can go to heaven and carry you when God has put you in hell? God put you, me Alexander, in hell because of my rebellion and refusing to serve God. And I close my eyes and I am in hell. And then you go to a priest. Don't even read the Bible. And tell you to pay money so that they will take you from purgatory. And many people still believe this. Brethren, when you close your eyes, we call it Cabino return. Nothing brings you back. Your time is close. Your days are close. Your years are done. Whatever you suppose, if you're supposed to do good, you never do it. You can't come back and do it for nobody. And so this is why, especially our young men, that we are always emphasizing and praying and encouraging and trying our best. Listen, the Bible says, next time I will go through the revelation to show you. It said, John says, I saw multitude from every nation. He said, children. He said, old, the young, little ones, they were all in the judgment seat and they find themselves either in heaven and in hell. Listen, when your mother is coming to church and he is saved and you have come to the point of understanding to know what is right and what is wrong, to believe Jesus as your personal savior, and if you are telling behind your mother, thinking your mother is the prayer warrior for you, to take you out of hell. Whatever you live for is where you will go. Whatever I live, as I stand here, whatever I live, if I believe God, if I reject God, if I refuse him, if I say there is no way that I could repent of my sins, I have nothing to do with God because I am so intellectual. I know a lot. I've been reading every book. And I know nobody can change me. And I'm not going to listen to nobody. What I say, where I'm going is where I'm going. If you haven't found yourself in Christ, if you haven't found yourself in God, if you haven't found yourself in his forgiveness, his mercies, his grace, the everlasting love that he has for you and for me, don't sit down and reject the love of God through Christ. Don't sit down and reject the call that he has been calling you to build a relationship between him. All he is saying is that, add God to whatever you are doing. And don't sit here on this planet Earth created by God and wasted all your precious years without knowing Jesus and refusing Jesus as your personal Savior. The very interesting thing is that no matter what you think, whether you are saved or not, he knows it. If you don't know when you die, where you go, he already knows. And so today, I encourage everybody because, truly speaking, the way I pray, it's like everything the scripture leading me is all about the coming of the Lord. It's like every scripture that I turn to, it takes me there. Not that I love to go to heaven. If he comes today, praise God. But that is helping me to be aware of my spirit that, Alexander, there is a reckoning day that is coming. And you need to prepare yourself. And don't pretend to be something that you are not. For me, it speaks to me. And I kneel down and say, God, I don't want to be a rebellion. But I just want to obey. I just want to take me home when you come. Nothing in this world that we plan, we put, building and whatever, when the day comes, you are loved children. Sometimes many of us love our children. We love them so much. It is good to love your children. But truth of the matter is, when that day comes, you cannot even look for your children. You can't. You can't look for them. You will leave them behind. Either they leave you behind or you leave them behind. Every one of us, there is a day that is coming. Have you prepared? Please stand on your feet. Hallelujah. I am just praying that all of us will prepare our hearts so that the work that we have been doing will not be in vain. As we go to sing this song, today I'll just pray. But if anybody here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if you have never given your life, surrender your life, if you have not cleaved to Jesus Christ, that you know, that Jesus knows, that the Spirit of the Lord knows, He's speaking to you, make it right. He says, today is the day. He said, give your life. He says, surrender unto Him, because we don't know what is about to happen. So you surrender. And maybe for years you have not been able to reach to do this kind of commitment unto Jesus Christ. If you know that you have never made this commitment unto your Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan has been harassing you, anytime you want to make the decision, he has something to tell you, and then you stop. Today, I don't want you to go here from here without knowing Jesus Christ, the Savior, and His love, and His forgiveness, and His mercy. And so, if you have never given your life and surrender and declare openly that Jesus is your Lord, then this day, today is a day that you have to do it. So as we bow down in the congregation, it's an opportunity to declare your love and to accept Him as your personal Savior. Because He's coming soon. And without your repentance, without your love and commitment unto this Jesus Christ, He will not know you to take you when He comes. So if you don't know Him as your Savior, please, I just want you, raise up your one hand so that I can pray for you. If you have never known the Lord, you have been hearing every day, you have been listening every day, but you never surrender and gave your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want you to raise up your one hand, and today we pray for you, and you don't go back without knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Let all eyes close, please. And please bow down, because this is very important. Important for your life. Important for the work of Christ that is calling all of us. It starts in one. And that one is to surrender and to declare that you are willing to serve the Lord and commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't let Satan twist your mind and tell you there will be another time. No, there is not another time. Is anyone that wants to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and surrender their life to the Lord. You are doing the right thing. You will never regret, because as you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the Lord takes charge. He forgives you everything and begin to walk with you. May God bless you. Is anybody here? Anybody that wants to give their life? I know somebody here, the Lord is speaking to you, but you are holding up. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I just want you to surrender unto the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Shame the devil for the living God, because he is calling you to bless you. He's calling you to keep you. He's calling you to mold you and to shape you, so that on the day that he comes, you can go with him. Praise God.